And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined in studio this weekend by District 3 Tuolumne County Supervisor Anaya Kirk. We're in the midst of a five-part series talking with the individual supervisors about issues facing the county and their individual districts. Supervisor Kirk, next thing I'll ask you about is the Law and Justice Center campus. There's the juvenile detention facility that's completed, a new jail that'll be coming online early next year, and then a courthouse shortly after. You know, what's your thoughts on the and opinions about the overall campus there?
Well, the overall campus, you know, I've been saying this since running for office. I completely agree that we need a new jail. I've gotten a tour of the old jail. It's completely outdated, pretty much disgusting. We need a new jail. The Justice Center as a whole, you know, there's been some criticism about the juvenile hall. I have my opinions about that. You know, with the operating cost is just pretty substantial at $1.7 million. But the reality of it is, it's there, it's built, and so we need to figure out a way to utilize it to the best of its capacity moving forward. That's why me and Supervisor Carl Rodifer, we did meet with the BSCC board. We had them come up. We showed them a tour of the hall. We've been explaining to them some of our concerns with the cost of operating it and with the amount of juveniles that are in it. And so it's an issue that I've been working on. At one of the board meetings, I did suggest, hey, maybe we should notify the state that we're going to close it. And the intention of that was to get the state to be more serious with conversation about looking into some ways to better utilize that facility. And it's okay, though. You know, the board didn't like that idea, and that's okay. That's why there's five of us, not one. But my intent is to try and find some more funding, some better avenues to utilize that moving forward. So I'm going to keep pursuing that. We did approve, there was a $188,000 study that we approved a few months for the Justice Center in law development evaluation. I have my own beliefs internally about that area. However, I need to be fair to the process, and I approve that study so I can get all the facts, get all the details, get all the information, and at that point make an informed decision. So I'm going to be looking for that report in the near future. I know there's talk about moving some more you know, like the district attorney, some other agencies out there on that land. But like I said, I need to see, I have some questions before any of those decisions are made.
So move over to issues facing District 3. What would you say are some of the biggest issues specific to your district right now?
Well, I think it's not just specific to my district. It's probably all the districts. But I know, I'll kind of go through a list of things that are happening in my district and then the things I think are most important. First of all, we had the Darnell store that was burned down last year from the fire. I know they're going through the process of rebuilding. They haven't actually broke ground yet, but I would encourage anybody once they do, hopefully next year, to go up there and support them. So we have the Darnell store starting up there. Little Sweden, which has been a major sledding zone for people for years. A local man has bought that, and he's doing some work to it, and hopefully we won't get sledders and won't be almost running people over every time you drive up to go to Dodge Ridge. Downtown Tuolumne here, they are talking about forming a CSD, and that's basically taking all the local districts, like sanitary, parks and rec, cemetery, and creating a CSD similar to Twin Heart. So although as a board member, I don't really have much to do with that, it is something that's going on within my district, and I do support. There's also the 9/11 Memorial Hall, which Frank Smart and Aaron Rasmussen have been working on. That's going to be coming to completion in the near future. And then right next to that is a Big Dreams Park. So in Tuolumne, downtown Tuolumne, there's been a lot of growth. We also have the Resiliency Center that may be going in there. So, you know, I grew up going to Motherlode Christian, and I've seen that city over the last 20, 30 years just completely clean up and become just a great family atmosphere. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to see that thrive. And then another big thing in my district is actually a road. It's a specific road. It's Mount Provo Road. I discovered that road while I was campaigning. Basically, in a nutshell, it's the only evac road for Ponderosa Hills if a fire were to go up in front. So what we thought would be a quick fix has turned into not a quick fix. Basically, there's a utility line that goes right down the middle of it. So we're working with U.S. Forest Service and the utility company to get that line moved or buried so that we can come through and grade it. And so that's a hot issue on my plate, trying to get that resolved. But I think the big issues, and again, they kind of span throughout the whole county, is most recently these power outages, especially up the 108 corridor. There was a lot of people who were without power much longer than most people who weren't, or that who had their power turned off, just because the higher elevations and the winds. The fire, again, we're heavily forested, wooded area, and you know, Rim Fire, Paradise Fire, that's all in our minds. So long term, with the power outages, you know, there's a lot of blame on PG&E, but CPUC, who oversees PG&E, who is overseen by the legislators, you know, really, if there was concern of power overloading or equipment, it could have been discussed and pushed years ago. So everybody wants to blame PG&E, but really it's a very complex problem. And unfortunately, they're saying it's going to take 10 to 15 years to update their equipment. So that's something that's going to be affecting my constituents moving forward. And then also, I think with fire and with the telephone lines, what I've come to realize is we need CEQA and NEPA reform. For too many years, a lot of environmentalists and a lot of litigation has held up things that we should have been doing in our forests for years. And, you know, when you talk about fire, when you talk about power outages, when you talk about fire insurance, a lot of that comes down to it's because things are burning. So I would like to see CEQA and NEPA reform, hopefully in the years that lie ahead, hopefully sooner than later. Even Governor Gavin Newsom in his State of the State address said, you know, we need CEQA reforms. And that's pretty big coming from him. I think I know he realizes that we need that. And then another thing, since we're talking about fire, is, you know, with insurance, we need to get ahead of the game. With insurance losses, I think they're talking about $8 billion, and at the end of this year, it'll be $12 billion. And, you know, with this multi-million-dollar surplus that the state has, and this is another reason why I want to meet with the governor's office regarding our budget, is they have a surplus. We don't have anything like that. Is get ahead of it. If we took just $1 billion of those losses that have been occurred, and we spread that out between the 21 Cal Fire units throughout California, if we got $1 billion and we spread that out, Calaveras and Tuolumne County Cal Fire units would have $47 million. I mean, I'm just talking about $1 billion. So here we are paying all these insurance losses, all this, everything's burning. I would like to see a lot more money dedicated to fire. You know, if you have a fire in your house or around your property, what's the first thing you do? You get to it quick and you put it out with water. So we need more resources to hit these fires hard and fast so that they don't get out of control and we don't have these devastating. So that's on the front end. I like to see more action that way. But on the back end, we need CEQA and NEPA reform, and we need to be allowed to go. And the science is there. The technology is there. We, you know, the loggers know how to do it right. And in California, where we say we're a green state, well, if we're going to be green, let's be green and go clean our forests, because one Rim Fire puts off more carbon, more CO pollutants than all these cars and everything that we regulate combined. So I think the good thing about Paradise, the good thing about Rim, the good thing about all these horrible things that have happened is that people can't deny it anymore. Legislators can't deny it anymore. And so I think hopefully we'll see some big reform coming down the road. We've had some steps, but a lot more needs to take place.
You mentioned earlier the improvements plan for Mount Provo Road, and I've heard you at the Board of Supervisors meeting bring that issue up as well. Have you gotten any indication as to how long it's going to take to actually get those improvements made?
Well, back in May or June, Josh White, Cal Fire Unit, he was gracious enough to say, hey, let's jump on it, go up there and fix it. They were going to fix it, but then that's when we discovered the line. And nobody wants to be held liable if they're out there grading it and then hit the line, because that's the fiber optics that goes between Twin Heart and Provo. So you're going to put a lot of people out. So the answer to that is no, I don't have an estimate. But I was getting so tired of getting the runaround from everybody that I finally got a hold of some people at the top level of the utility. I was on my way to the CAO's office, and I found some people before him. So I brought it to their attention, and that was just a few weeks ago, and we're going to have a meeting out there on that road. We're going to be looking at it and coming up with a solution. So in order for that, there's a permit with the U.S. Forest Service for them to have their line there. So in order for them to re-up that that permit. I'm hoping that has to be changed before that can be issued.
You mentioned another project too, the Resiliency Center in Tuolumne. There's also one being looked at for Groveland. Is that still up in the air as if it's going to happen in Tuolumne?
You know, it's been going back and forth. The latest I heard, which was this week, nothing official, but it does look like we're going to be able to move forward with two. Again, nothing official, but we're waiting to get, there's so much bureaucracy. I'm a huge fan for letting local level government do things, but this is a prime example where you have the feds, you have the state, and it's just been a hard process, but it does look like it's going to probably be approved. Our area is going to, downtown Tuolumne, the first plan, it kind of looked like, in my mind, the structure didn't belong. It looked too modern. So we had some people look at it and we're reviewing it and we were able to get a different architectural design to it. So it looks more like downtown, more like the buildings that are there. And it looks like when we get the final okay, we're going to be rushing to get it done and to have it complete on time.
Need to take one more break. We're talking to Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Mother Lode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.